Hopefully I can get this message across to you. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We've been looking at the fruits of the Spirit for the last few weeks. And we've looked at love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and then there's goodness, but we are going to look at faith. We're going to look at faith this morning. Amen. Because in difficult situations, in difficult circumstances, we need to have faith. We must need faith, or we must have faith. Faith is what is going to carry us through. Faith not only, we're not saved only by faith, but we also live our Christian life by faith. The Apostle Paul said, the just shall live by faith. And that living includes living in trying times and troubled times and in difficult circumstances. Our faith is what is going to carry us through. And so let's ask God to bless the reading of His Word and the message that will be preached. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. God, we thank You for this day that You've given to us. We thank You that we can assemble together. We thank You for brothers and sisters in Christ that love You and that care about one another. Father, we're thankful that You care about us. We're thankful that You love us. We're thankful that You've brought us to this point. Father, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to glean something from the message this morning, that You'd help me and give me the words of wisdom to say, and I'll thank You for it. Lord, we love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 5, we'll read verses 16 to 26. The apostle says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." All of life, ladies and gentlemen, is a life of faith. It is believing in something. Everyone from the oldest to the youngest here in our assembly believes in something. You're trusting in something or someone. You live your life that way. You live your life believing or trusting in something that you hear, something that you see. You live your life by faith, each and every one of us. And what you believe determines how that you behave. We constantly live the way that we believe. Now, you might say that you believe something, but how you behave is telling on you about what you actually believe. Why are Americans panicking today, losing their minds because of these new circumstances that are upon us? Well, because they actually believe something. They've heard something, they've seen something, and so they've decided, well, I better go down to the grocery store quick and get some food and get some supplies, because the grocery store, it could close at any moment, and I don't want to be left without anything to eat. And that's a valid feeling, a valid reaction. You might be afraid today. You might have some fear in your heart. Well, that's justifiable. All of us are afraid, because we don't know the future. We don't know how this might play out. We don't know how this is going to affect us in the long run. We don't know how this is going to affect the economy and how this is going to affect our lives in the future. And so you probably have some fear of some sort in your heart. Well, how am I going to get paid? Am I going to lose my job? How is my 401k doing and that I've been saving for all of these years? Because I know that the economy is starting to crash and I don't know what's going to happen. It's fear. Every one of us probably have a certain amount of fear, but don't let your lives be ruled by fear. I mean, yeah, fear is coming in, but don't allow that to rule your life. Don't allow it to rule your ruin your peace in your heart. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And in difficult circumstances, you and I, we can live in peace. We can live without fear ruling our lives. Yeah, it's going to come. Don't let it rule your life. You know how you're going to combat that fear that you or I might have? It's going to be by faith. It's going to be by what the Word of God has to say. And Paul mentions faith here as a fruit of the Spirit. Well, what is faith? Well, I could give you a dictionary definition of what faith is. It is persuasion, moral conviction, especially in reliance upon Christ for salvation, assurance, belief, fidelity. That is what faith is. That's the definition of faith. Well, true saving, divine faith comes from God. We read in the text here that it is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that God produces on the inside of us. You and I, we are not born convicted about the veracity of the Bible. We're not born believing the gospel and thinking, well, there must be Jesus Christ out there somewhere, and I know that He died for my sin. No, you don't believe that whenever you're born. Why? You're born dead in trespasses and in sins. You're not born believing the Word of God. Every one of us were rebels against God. We were rebels against the revelation that we have in the Scriptures. We're born running away from God, rebelling against God. God must do something in our hearts, must do something in our lives in order to change our minds, because if we didn't, we'd continue right down that same path of unbelief and rebellion against God if He didn't do something. But I'm thankful that there is a couple of words in Ephesians chapter number 2 that says, but God, who was rich in mercy, and His great love wherewith He loved us. I'm thankful that I have an all-powerful God that decided to intervene. Amen. But yet our faith can become challenged at times, can't it? Things can come into our lives and our faith starts to wane a little bit. Well, that's what happened to the Galatians here. They had professed faith in Christ. They had professed faith in Christ, and then something else came in. A false teacher came in and started teaching them something else, and their faith, it began to wane a little bit, and they started going away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Some different circumstance had come into their life. Don't let that be your case today. Don't let something come into your life and your faith begins to wane. Well, is God really still on the throne? Does He really know what's going on in my life? Does He really know the circumstances that we are facing? If there is really a God out there, wouldn't He know? Yeah, He does know. Nothing is outside of the scope of God's eye. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly where you and I are at. He knows exactly the challenges that we are facing. So don't let your faith be challenged this morning or wane this morning. What is your faith on this morning? Well, faith, it's not produced by works. I mean, you can't go out and say, well, if I do enough works, then I can have enough faith, and therefore then I can have it. No, that's not how it comes. It comes from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that faith was one of the weightier matters of the law in the Old Testament. One of the more important things in the Old Testament. He spoke about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, you know, they tithe on everything. They worry about the outward appearance, and they worry about the outward things of their life, but yet they neglect the weightier matters of the law. They neglect judgment and mercy and faith. You and I, we can't neglect faith. We can't replace faith with some kind of outward thing. So what is your faith on tonight? What is the object of your faith? Because the strength of your faith depends on the object of your faith. I mean, if it's placed, every one of us have our faith placed on something. I don't care if you're an atheist. You're believing in something. And if it's placed on something that is fallible, if it's placed on something that is weak and crumbly, one of these days you're going to be very, very disappointed when that all crumbles and comes crashing down, because you and I, we have our faith placed on something that is eternal, something that is unchanging, something that will never go away. This morning I want to look at the source of our faith and what it gives to us as recipients. The source of our faith is from the Lord. We get our faith from God. Do you recognize and realize this morning that your faith comes from God, that it's actually a gift that God has given to you? I think that some of us might not even know that, or we don't even recognize it. But our faith is a gift of grace from God. It's not something that we naturally possessed. It's something that God gives to you. We're not born believing in Jesus Christ for salvation. We simply are not. Why? Because of our fallen condition. You're a rebel against God before you get saved. You're not believing in Christ. No one is born seeking after God or seeking after righteousness. You're running towards unrighteousness. You're running towards uncleanness. But our faith comes from God. And that faith comes to us in a specific way. You know how it comes to us? Our faith comes to us by the Word of God. That is why it is so important for the church to come together and to hear the preaching of the Word of God, because that is how faith comes to you. That is how faith is strengthened. It says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to have your faith strengthened, if you want to have faith at all, you need to come to church and you need to hear the Word of God preached. If you want to have your faith strengthened, open up the Word of God and read it. Amen. Have a daily time where you read the Word of God. And nobody in the United States has an excuse about not reading the Bible or not hearing the Word of God. There's churches on every street corner. We have the internet. We have Bibles running out of our ears. If you want to have your faith strengthened, it comes through the Word of God. God is not going to rain down faith out of the sky and hit you on the forehead with it. It comes into your ears. That's how it comes. And so the Holy Spirit, He miraculously generates faith in our hearts through the seed of the Word of God, because the Word of God is that seed. And He generates faith in our hearts. You want to have your faith strengthened and grow, listen to good preaching. Listen to the Word of God being read to you and read it yourself. It is a gift of grace and it comes from God. Faith comes to us as a gift and salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, probably everyone here could quote it, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Did you catch that? And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The faith is a gift from God. And there is not one ounce, not one atom, not one aspect of our salvation that we can boast in. None of us. We're not going to be able to look back one of these days and say, well, ha, I did that. No, God did that. Our faith in salvation is a gift from God. As Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, boy, they were going through some tough circumstances. And they were probably going through a lot more things than we're going through today, because they couldn't have come into a building and meet together probably the way that we are today. Why? Because they were being persecuted for their faith. People hated them for what they believed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul the Apostle says that it has been given unto you on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. He says, it has been given unto you, Philippians, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ on the behalf of Jesus Christ. So the belief that they had and the suffering went hand in hand. It is a gift from God. You and I ought to be thankful that we have that faith, that we live in a country where we can read the Bible and hear the gospel preached freely. We don't have to go around sneaking around trying to hear the gospel. It's a gift from God. Not only that, God gives us faith for service as well. It's imparted to us as a gift of the Spirit. You all have heard of the different gifts of the Spirit. Paul the Apostle spoke about that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. God gives to some wisdom. He gives to some knowledge. He gives to some this and that, but He gives to some faith. Did you ever meet anybody that just had more faith than you did? Well, they could just trust God in certain areas that you couldn't trust God in. They were able to go forward and they were able to do things for God that you just couldn't do. You know why? God's given them a little bit more faith than He's given you and me. He's put people into the body of Christ that can help us, those who don't have enough faith or not as much faith as the next person. Boy, that helps us along and strengthens us, doesn't it? We think about the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. All of those great men and women of faith, boy, they did so much. Noah went out and built an ark. Abraham was able to believe God, and Sarah was able to believe God in the face of the impossible. And God has placed people in the body of Christ, and they have more faith than some of the others. Boy, it's an encouragement. I'm here to tell you this morning that faith comes from God and is a gift from God. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. And so if faith is a gift from God, well, what does it give us? It gives us the strength to go forward in uncertain times. It's not a dead faith. It's not just a said faith. It's not just a lip service to others. No, it is an alive faith. It is something that is alive. Why? Why is it an alive faith? Well, for you and I, we have our faith in something that is alive. We're not believing in a dead statue. We're not believing in a dead Savior. We're not believing in a dead religious system. We're not believing in a dead government system. At least I hope we're not. You and I are believing in something that is alive. Do you recognize and realize this morning that your God is alive and that He is working in history and He's working in the future and He knows all of the details of the future? He has it all laid out. Our faith is alive because of the object of our faith. We have a God who is alive. We have a Savior who is alive. Do you realize this morning that the tomb is empty? Jesus Christ didn't stay in the grave. Go look in Israel. It's empty. And 500 people saw Him after He was risen from the dead. And they talked with Him. And they ate with Him. And they saw Him ascend up into heaven. And now He intercedes for His church. And so that's why our faith is alive. Do you realize and recognize this morning that the book that you hold in your hands is an alive book? It's not dead. It's not dead scriptures. It's not a dead book. It's alive. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But you go put your faith in some other dead book. Go to Barnes & Noble and pick up another book. It's a dead book. It's not like this book. Our scriptures are alive, and therefore our faith is alive. Our faith can be seen by the naked eye. It's something that is tangible. It is something that is seen. Faith brought an incapacitated man to Jesus Christ for healing. And Jesus Christ said when he saw their faith, he healed the man. Faith is action. Faith is something that does something. It is not something that just sits there and does nothing. Faith animates to action. Faith does something. It is alive, living, and genuine. Faith produces service for the Lord. It produces service for God. It obeys the commandments of God. It is a living faith. It is something that is alive and active. It is a doing faith. There's Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter number 7. And he said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock, and the rains came, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not." Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. But in contrast, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the winds came, and the winds blew, and the floods came, and it fell, and great was the fall of it, because it was founded upon the sand. Did you hear that? Oh, they heard the word. It went into their ears. But it didn't go any further. They didn't do the word. Oh yeah, they had the faith. It came to their ears. And they could have done it. They could have built their house. They could have built their life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They could have built their life upon the Scriptures, but they decided not to. They decided to build their life upon something that was shifting, something that was crumbly, and it fell. And a life of faith this morning is something that does. It is something that has action. It is active. It serves the Lord. It obeys the commandments of God. It is not a faith that only hears. But it does. It serves not only God, but it serves others. James chapter 2 spoke about this. He says, "Faith without works is dead." He says, if you have a brother or sister who comes to your front door and they are naked and destitute of food and they need something, and you answer the door and you look at them and your brother tells you what his need is, and you look at him and say, "Go ahead, go away, be ye warmed and filled." He says, that's not a life faith. He says, that is a faith that is dead. Why? Because an alive faith cares about his brothers and sisters in Christ. An alive faith is something that does something. It is not a faith that is only a said faith. It is a faith that works. It is a faith that moves. It doesn't stay where it's at. It goes. It moves along. A genuine faith is seen in the generosity to God and to others. A faith that is seen forgives others. A faith that is seen is evidenced in faithfulness. A faith that is seen is evidenced in its concern for others. That is a genuine faith. That is a faith that is alive. That is a divine faith that comes from the Lord. It gives you animation for today's service. It is something that moves you in the present time. But it doesn't just move you in the present time. It is something that is able to go and grasp forward and grab something in the future. It's something that gives you hope. Do you recognize and realize today that by faith we can reach forward and grab a hold of something in the future, and we can keep on going for the Lord no matter the circumstances that happen in our life? No matter what happens in the United States of America, we have something by faith that we have already grabbed a hold of, and we are going forward in the future. We have a faith that is alive, and it gives us hope for the future. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." It is something that we can grab a hold of in the future that we can't see, but yet we believe it. Faith and hope go hand in hand. If you and I have faith this morning in Jesus Christ, then you have a hope. Then you have something in the future that you can look forward to. We know that this life is not the end. We know that the United States is not the end for the Christian. Faith and hope go hand in hand. Paul the Apostle says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity." If you got faith, what follows is hope this morning. We are not left hopeless. We are not a hopeless people. We are not a destitute people. We have a hope this morning in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if your faith is in anything less than the solid rock of Jesus Christ and His Word, then you have a crumbling foundation and a crumbling hope. Plenty of people put their faith in other things. Boy, they put their faith in the stock market. They put their faith in their bank account. They put their faith in their government. They put their faith in religion. But man, that's crumbly. You know why? Because they're all temporal. Things aren't going to last forever. You think the stock market's going to be around forever? I've got money in the stock market. I've been saving for 30 years in the stock market. Do you know what it looks like now? It doesn't look too good. It's all going down the tubes. You know why? It's temporal. It's not anything solid. And when I put my money in there 30 years ago, 20 years ago, however long it was, they said, "Oh, this is a safe place to put your money. Very safe." Well, it doesn't seem like it's too safe. But hey, we can't put our hope in those things. We can't put our hope in the government. We can't put our hope in the president of the United States. We just can't. Now, we have to deal with these people on a temporal basis. Yes, I understand that. We do. But man, don't replace your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with, "Well, what's the government going to be? Is it going to bail me out this time? Man, what am I going to do?" Boy, we could talk a long time about that. But our faith and our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word. Why? Because of what it tells us. Man, we got something better. If our hope is in this place, if our hope is in the United States and Portales, Mexico, boy, we got some pretty low expectations. Our faith and our hope is in the future beyond this place in heaven. Amen. In heaven. We are already seated together with the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places. You're as good as in heaven with the door shut. If you are saved here this morning, you're already there. Amen. You're already there. And our faith and our hope is in heaven. We have an inheritance waiting for us, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Unlike your bank account, unlike your 401k, unlike your house, unlike all the things that you possess, unlike your cars, we have a hope for heaven. We have a hope for the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming back one of these days, and I hope that it's very soon. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back, and He's not going to be like any other dictator here upon this earth who's fallible and who doesn't do justice sometimes and who makes mistakes. No, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords is infallible. And He's going to rule this place one of these days. And He's coming back and He's going to straighten up the whole mess. The whole world is going to get straightened out. And we're not going to have to deal with some of the things that we are dealing with today. Our hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the incorruptible body that we will have one of these days. One of these days you're going to have a body that's not going to get sick. One of these days you're going to have a body that's not going to sin and have bad thoughts and make mistakes and go to the grave one of these days and turn to dust. That's our hope. Our hope is in the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ability of God to save the lost. We still have that hope this morning. We serve a great God who is able to save. We serve a great God who is able to put families back together. That's what our hope is in this morning. Not in anything in the United States. But what kills our hope sometimes? Things can kill your hope. You know what it is? You start putting your faith and trust in other things. You start looking at the circumstances like Peter did when he was walking on the water, looking at the trouble and problems, and man, your faith begins to wane. doesn't, you don't have the same faith that you once had. Why? You start looking at uncertain things. You start loving the world. You start loving the things of this world. And then you get disappointed. But the Apostle Paul says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, man, you make sure and you remind the people that you are preaching to not to put their faith in uncertain riches, because they can make like wings and fly away and they won't be around anymore. And there goes your happiness and there goes your joy, because it was all built upon money. And he says, you remind those who are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, because that money will drown you in destruction and perdition. And he says, because of that, some of them have erred from the faith. They've gone away because of money. Uncertain things. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we have something that's certain. That we have something that doesn't change. That we have a God who doesn't change. That we have a Savior who doesn't change. That we have a Word of God that doesn't change. It's not going anywhere. Jesus Christ says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Not going to change. Not going to change. So faith is essential for the Christian. You must have it. And all people have faith in something or someone. And it's faith that comes from God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And He gives it to us. But I want to leave you with this thought this morning. Faith only works when it is done through love. You must have love partnered with faith, or faith becomes something that's selfish and self-centered. It says in Colossians chapter 5 and verse number 6, you're in the same chapter. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You might have faith this morning, but it only works correctly when you have love as its partner. You got faith. Is it working through love? Is your faith working hand in hand in love? Have you committed this morning to loving your brother and sister in Christ? You know, we picked this verse for our yearly verse. Love. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Have you committed to doing that this year? You know, I picked that as our verse, and we're going to use that for our theme, but it has proven to be a test in our church. The devil's come against us, and he's going to attack. I want each and every one of you to commit to loving your brother and sister in Christ, because faith only works when it's done through love. It only partners and does what it's supposed to do when it's done through love. Trying times, yeah. Trying times. Fearful times, yeah. We're not going to lie. We're not going to put on the stoic face and say, oh, I don't have any fear. Well, each and every one of us have at least a little bit of fear in there. But don't let that fear overtake you. Don't let that fear ruin your life. Keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.